Amen. Well, God gave a word to Richard to embrace Jesus in his Jewishness as his son, and he opened his eyes and he could see Jesus. And I saw Jesus during the worship healing people. Anybody that's present saw a difference in your body? Okay, some hands went up. Good. Praise the Lord. Okay. And Richard received healing too. That's great. His hand went up. I'm going to talk about the Jewish feast today. So praise the Lord. First fruits is usually in the Feast of Weeks in Shavuot, which you can find in Numbers 28, 26, or the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. You can find that also in Exodus 23, 16. You know, during the time when Passover is going to be coming, that's in Leviticus 23, 10. Passover was the first of the three holidays of the first fruits. They were offered in connection with that holiday, and the Passover lambs were sacrificed on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. The first day of Passover was the 15th, and the feast of the first fruits fell on the 16th of Nisan. Now, on the Jewish calendar, their day doesn't start at sunrise like we do. It starts at sunset. And the portion of the first fruits of the Passovers when they brought it, you know, in the evening, was called the Omer. It was forbidden to eat from the crop until this portion had been offered, according to Leviticus 23:14. Now, when a farmer plants a seed, he expects to produce of the kind of seed he planted. So if he planted a corn kernel, he doesn't expect to reap apples, right? Okay, so we have to remember that God has a seed, and without the seed, you cannot reap your harvest. So there's a lot of Christians who are planting the wrong seed and wondering why they aren't getting the right harvest. They'd say, well, Lord, I prayed a lot for finances and I don't see more abundance. They didn't plant the right seed. But Lord, I've been faithful to serve you. How come I don't see more money? They didn't plant the right seed. But Lord God, you know that I'm very kind to other people, but I don't see my bills paid like they should be, and there is a lack. They didn't plant the right seed. And then there are people who say, Lord, I'm going to give you whatever's left over of my check. And sometimes there's not much left. You know, when they used to pass the baskets, and then you know, the pastor appreciated the kind of offering and tithes that were put in there that folded. And then you got some that had dings when they went in the basket. Ding, 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 ding. Well, it sounds like a slot machine. Four quarters. And then they said, Lord, but how come I don't have abundance? They didn't plant a big enough seed for the harvest they expected. So we have to know what we plant, we're going to reap. We have to be aware that what we are seeing in our lives now are what we had sown in the past. And so if I don't like something in my life, the Lord said, go back and look what you had done before. And I said, oh, I wasn't planting correctly. See, you have to keep watering and watering and watering that seed. And then if we stomp on that seed, then it's not going to keep growing. And a lot of us don't realize we do that because we get discouraged. We get tired of waiting. We're saying it's taking too long. Maybe this stuff doesn't work. I don't see anything. Do you know, a potato farmer can't see anything. He just knows he put potato seed in there, put the dirt over it, prayed for the rain, and then he's expecting to have potatoes. So he's already hiring people to come at harvest time to dig up those potatoes. He's already bartering with the market how much he would get for each bunch of potatoes so that he would be able to sell wholesale. He's making the plans. He made room in his silo and his storage bins so he could put potatoes in there. Now, it would be foolish if he said, I'm planting a whole bunch of potatoes and I'm just going to sit here and, oh, if it comes, it comes. Then I'll start making storage room. Oh, then if it comes, then I'll start to barter. Oh, if it comes, then maybe I might need extra help. That would be doubt and unbelief. See, a lot of Christians are like, well, I guess God's provision is supposed to be there, but since I don't see it, I'm not going to make room for it. They don't expect it. They're hoping it's going to be there. They're hoping and a praying. But hope doesn't bring your harvest. Faith does. See, you have to believe that you have received, because when you planted the seed, you saw it in your mind's eye with the eyes of faith, what you had planted already fully grown. You have to expect that the word of God, through speaking and thanking God for what you have already received in advance of receiving in your hands, will be the water by which that seed will grow. And then we get out doubt and unbelief and don't stomp on that seed when it's taken too long. See, all the scientists that are smart, that are geniuses, that are just, you know, their IQ is off the charts, they still can't figure out how that seed brings life. Can't do it. They know it does. They just don't know how it does. It just does. They could put cameras down in that earth and they see it shoot up and open up, but they really don't know how it does it, because it's God. And when the word of God is planted on the inside of us, deep into our heart, and then we water that with reading the word and doing our affirmations and declaring and thanking God for that word, it grows and it grows and it roots and it roots, and then it'll shoot up and then it'll blossom. And I said, Lord, there are some areas in my life that I still need to change and improve. And there are some things that I desire that aren't manifested in my life yet. And he said, go back and check the seed. Did you stomp on it? Did you keep watering it? Did you give up? And that happened to me once when I was single. And I got saved when I was 19. And I was taught to speak the word of God over myself and speak positive things and thank God for his word. And I thank God that one day I would be married. And then at 30 years old, I said, what happened? I'm still single. I said, man, I've been praying all the scriptures about getting married and all the scriptures about, you know, being blessed in a marriage, and that every man should have his wife and every woman have her husband. And when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So I said, Lord, make me a better thing, because maybe that's why he's not finding me. I don't know. So I just kept praying all these scriptures, you know. And finally, one day I was fed up because, you know, all these guys would be calling me. I'd date them and they're like, nah, that's not the right guy. Then I'd go on a date with another guy. Nah, that's not the right guy. Finally, I said, you're just a brother in the Lord. I don't date anymore. I just waiting on God to bring me my man. And then finally, I just stopped praying. And so probably about 31 years old, the next year I said, Lord, how come I don't have my husband yet? He says, you stop praying. He says, you're delaying your harvest. I said, oh my gosh, I have to catch up here. So instead of 2 hours of praying, I started praying 4 hours, and I made 4 pages of what I desired in a husband. Oh, wow. Number one, see, this was my order form. I'm putting in my order, and he's going to fill it. All right. So my first one is he's got to love God more than he loves anything in life. He's got to be a man of God, faithful, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, be led by the Spirit, a man of integrity and righteousness. Because if he loves God that much, he will love me and be faithful. I wouldn't have to worry about it. And then, of course, the other things, he had to be handsome. You know, he had to be very kind to me. He had to be somebody that was industrious and not lazy. And he had to be funny. I pray too hard on that one because my husband teases me all the time. But I prayed things that was the word of God over him. I prayed the word over who my husband was. And then I prayed Psalm 91 over him and everything that he did so he'd be protected. I prayed that whatever he put his hands to would prosper. I prayed because this man existed. He wasn't all of a sudden just going to appear. He was on this earth somewhere. I just didn't know who he was. And he was supposed to find me. So I figured if God sent me to Central America, he knew my address. I wasn't worried about it. Because I wanted to marry a United States citizen. So we would have our culture in common. Because I was raised here. And the Lord says, well, you stomped on your seed when you stopped praying, when you got tired. You had doubt and unbelief because you didn't see it. From 19 years old to 30 years old, I thought, well, gee, you know, where is he, right? And so I realized that I had to keep my faith and my eyes set on what the word said, not what my eyes were seeing in the natural. You know, then when I did find my husband, I said, wow, I checked off everything on all 4 pages, except for one. I wanted to marry a pastor because I was in the ministry and he wasn't a pastor at the time, but the Lord told me to marry him and he's now a pastor. Amen. But see, I obeyed God, right? He was everything. I was not unequally yoked. I kept saying it to people. I can't be unequally yoked. I must be yoked with the man that God wants me to be with. So I will be his helpmate so that we would serve the Lord together. And the Lord would be in control of our lives. And so James at the time owned restaurants and he also owned a tailor shop. He was he made custom-made clothing for CEOs, governors, and he had different restaurants. And I kept saying to him, I can't be unequally yoked. And he said, well, I can make you eggs any way you want it. Sunny side up, over easy. What do you want? I said, not that kind of yoke. But he does make great breakfasts. That I got to tell you. Okay. So I went back to praying over the word of God and watering that seed. There are dreams that you have had that haven't been fulfilled yet. There are goals that you still desire to accomplish, and maybe you haven't been concentrating on the seed that you had planted, or maybe it was a wrong kind of seed, and it wasn't exactly what you needed, and so you have to ask God now, do you need to plant a new seed or just keep watering the old so that you will see this year the fulfillment of those things that haven't come to pass yet? Because God is trying to tell us that it is time for the reaper to overtake the sower. It is time for the body of Christ that the latter rain is going to be greater than the former. And although things in the world look dim and the finances are going down, those that have been faithful like you, Jesus said, that he will prosper you. He said that he will give you all the things that you need because he's the supplier of everything that you need and has already given it to you because it is yours in the bank of heaven. That you have been faithful to tithe, that you have been faithful to give into the house of God. And therefore he has opened up the windows of blessings and is pouring out upon you blessings you cannot contain or hold. So get your storage areas ready. Get them ready to be filled with the vats and the flowing and the overflowing and the abundance of everything that God is giving to you because he counts you faithful in Jesus' name. And God is resurrecting in each one of you those seeds of vision, those seeds of destiny that he has called you to do. Only you can accomplish that in his kingdom. And it will not be forsaken because he is with you. And he has given his son, Jesus Christ, as the first fruits because he has brought you in so that you can also be the first fruits of born again, of the ones in your family to show others that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords, and there is nothing too hard for him, and there is no recession, there is no depression, there is no poverty or lack that can hold back his people because he has his hand upon you in Jesus' name. And although some people can't see what's happening inside of your heart, the seed that you've planted there and the things that you've cried out to God for, he has heard your cry. And it is time of fulfillment. It is time of the great harvest to come. And get ready, because it is coming in great measure. Great measure. And when a farmer takes his crop and he gathers it up, he does not eat his seed for the next year, or there will be no seeds to plant. He has to portion out how much harvest he wants. So if he had a good crop this year but wants a bumper crop next year, then he has to take extra seed and plant more ground in order to get more harvest. Make sense? He has to expand himself. So sometimes they sacrifice and say, okay, maybe we're not going to eat four slices of bacon today. We're just going to eat one, because I needed to plant more seed so I didn't sell that harvest. He had to take the seed, and then he had to make room in more land for more furrows so that he would have more acreage of crops that he could plant. Okay? So sometimes there is a sacrifice that when you want a bigger harvest, you have to plant a bigger seed. And I don't understand why Christians just don't get a hold of this, because the devil lies to Christians and say, they just want your money. You know, I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of ministries that are faithful to God, and the majority of them, they operate by faith. And it's not your money that they need. It is God wanting to see our faithfulness of obeying his word and trusting him, so that when we give it as an honor to God, as a worship and praise when we give. If someone's grumbling and not a cheerful giver, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my bills, and you know, I'm always short, and the amount of money I'm short is the amount of money I coincidentally have to give to the church. And oh my goodness, that pastor, he has so much food, but I needed food, but I had to give him my food money. And so therefore, I don't know how come I have to be given all this stuff, and I don't even see any more food. And so therefore, I have to go to the food bank and get free food. And then if someone asked me if I could have a potato chip out in my bag, I said, no way, get your own. You know, and that person's wondering, how come I don't have anything? See, now when Jews give of the first fruits, I'm telling you, they get excited. And see, we worship the God of the Jews. We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. We worship him. I want to do what the scripture says. And the first fruits refers to the first portion of the harvest which is given to God. Most notably, the first fruits are the first to come in time, a pledge or a hope of a greater harvest to follow. And they especially dedicate it to God. Now, they do it in a ceremony and they get so excited. Woohoo! I'm going to get a bigger harvest next year. They haven't seen it yet. Are those people crazy? Do you know that they train their children? Jews train their children that there's no such thing as poverty. They say, you worship the God, Jehovah Jireh. That's it. They will never be poor. They confess it. Everything I do prospers. So guess what? Everything they do prospers. Even in hard times. They always expect to be blessed by their covenant God. Now we have a greater covenant, the New Testament. Shouldn't we be expecting even more that what Jesus has done for us opened up all of heaven and all the blessings of earth and bind up all the underworld? So therefore, we can tell Satan to get his hands off of our harvest. But we got to make sure that we take care of it. We can't just expect that you throw a bunch of seeds out there and then you just forget about it. How many people have gardens and they have to go weed it? They have to take out the weeds so they don't kill the seed in there. They have to go cut back the rose bushes so that the roses won't just fall off and die, and then, you know, it can't bear the next spring. I mean, there's a lot to do with taking care of plants and flowers in order for them to be aligned with what they need to be. Why do we think we're just going to let it ride? See, and not take care of what's important to us. Does that make sense? Okay. So here's the spiritual meaning of the first fruits. By giving God the first fruits, Israel acknowledged that all good things come from God and that everything belongs to God. Giving the first fruits was also a way of expressing trust in God's provision. Just as he provided the first fruits so he would provide the rest of the crops that were needed. Note that the Feast of the First Fruits was instituted when the nation of Israel was still wandering without land or crops. It was observed in faith that God would lead the people to the land that he had promised. So we're going to read in Deuteronomy 26, starting with verse 1 to 11. And it shall be, when thou art coming unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessed it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there, like to your church. And thou shalt go unto the priest or pastor that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto the fathers for to give us. They were prophesying. How many years did they have to prophesy before they actually saw it? But they believed it. They believed they already received it. So they were honoring God for it. So you have to believe, no matter what you were dreaming, no matter what your goals are, no matter what your budget is supposed to be, believe that it is yours. Verse 4, and the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God. You shall do what? Speak. You got to speak to your seed. A Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before thy God. You see, the complaining lady, who barely wanted to give of her tithes because she was short, was not honoring God, was not trusting that when she gave, that God was already able to provide. And verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, and thou the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Meaning he'll give you so much overflowing that you can help others who don't have. And people are in their Egypt when there is a lack in their household, when there is a lack in their business, when there is a lack in their spiritual life, when you still are needing to receive blessings from God or healing. It is like a spiritual Egypt that the devil is trying to put on that person, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because we were redeemed from the curse of the law, that we were taken into the promised land, and there we are supposed to be like having milk and honey. And what does that mean? The sweet savor of the Lord, the word of God. See, and then from the milk, you go to the meat and then to the strong meat. He wants us to receive of the good things and to possess the land of promise, to possess the promises of God, and that they are yea and amen. He wants us to be wealthy. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be everything that Jesus is to this world, so that we could bring others to know him as Lord and Savior. He wants you to expand that kingdom, and he needs you to get your body in order. He needs you to get your finances in order. He needs you to get your house and your family in order. And wherever there is a lack, he is calling into alignment today in Jesus' name. Because the devil has been attacking Christians because he wants to keep us down, and he doesn't want us to be out there in the battlefield and winning more souls to Christ. And Jesus needs you and me. Because I can't do what you can do. I can't reach the people you can reach. Amen? Amen? You see, a lot of pastors make a mistake and they think that they reproduce sheep, but it's sheep that reproduce sheep. So you got to go out there and minister to people. And if people see that you have broken down things in your life, if people see that you are still waiting for the manifestation of the word of God, sometimes it's hard for them to get convinced that he's a God of victory. Would you say so? And so this year is a turnaround year. This year, God calls you victorious. This year, you will achieve much more in victory than you have ever achieved. A lot of you have been on a faithful road. A lot of you have been striving. A lot of you have been doing everything you know to do and standing. And God says there's a reckoning. God is saying that there is a reckoning. Pastor Matthew preached on that Friday night, and I had received a word from the Lord to minister about the reckoning of the first fruits. Interesting. It's not because God knew. It's the same Holy Spirit. He's tying the messages together, right? And so if you go to Romans 4:22, Romans
chapter 4. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness, or imputed is another word in the King James. And so if we, well, what's he talking about? Well, let's go to verse 20. Well, maybe we might go up a little bit further. We're talking about Abraham. You know, I want to go to verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith that Abraham had. That was what he seeded. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, and where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the what? Seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. The farmers say, I have an abundant harvest, before they can see one shoot come out of the ground. Don't let Satan discourage you. And even though you don't see the manifestation with your eyes of what you have stood in faith for, call it. Call it into being, and thank God you have it, because that's the truth. It is yours. Amen? Amen. The seed is in your heart. The word is in your heart. Keep watering it. Don't give up. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 18, who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, which was what? Spoken, which was what? Spoken. So shall thy seed be. Remember, if you say, oh man, this harvest has taken so long, I don't even see it, it's not working. Guess what? You just delayed your harvest. So you have to go back to watering, okay? You didn't cancel the harvest, but you have delayed that harvest. And some people could cancel it if they keep saying that. They'll stomp on their seed and destroy it. But you could revive it. You could say, I cancel, make null and void any words that don't line up with the word of God. I put it under the blood of Jesus. And God said that he has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not going to supply, because if I say he's going to supply, I'll never receive it, because it's always in the future. I have to say it's already been done, because that's what happened the day we became born again. It was yours. Because he would knew what you would ask for before you asked it. He knew what you would have need of, and he already provided it. Doesn't that make you get excited? Yes. It's already there. Hallelujah. Right? Okay, now see it in your mind. Close your eyes for just a second. See it in your mind with the eye of faith. That which you have believed God for. See your body completely whole, restored, recovered, healed, healthy, whole, energetic. See your finances overflowing with such greatness that you are able to bless so many people. You are able to give more to the gospel, that you are able to expand the kingdom of God without blinking an eye nor looking at your checkbook or your budget.
See yourself restored in relationships that you thought were never possible. See yourself promoted by God. See yourself as the king and priest that God has called you to be, holding your head high with no shame, no regret, no guilt, no condemnation of the past, because he sees you sin-free. Those of you that confess your sins according to 1 John 1:9 every day, he sees you as the heir, co-heir with Christ Jesus. See yourself receiving all the goodness of God that is already yours. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to beg for it, because God loves you and has provided for you as an adult child of God. Call it into being. Thank God for it. You have it. It's yours. And don't allow the devil to roadblock you, delay you, or deny you what is rightfully yours as a co-heir of Jesus Christ, because you have planted seed. You have watered. And so there are times that can be discouraging and can look like there's an impossibility. But all things are possible to him who believe. All things are possible. There's nothing impossible for you, because your God is the God of impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Now we're going to continue in verse 19 of Romans 4. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, but he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. 20. Yet he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded, not just half persuaded, not just, well, I think I'm just going to give because the word says it. I'm just going to be obedient to the word. That is good, but not the best. See, your heart has to believe it. Parents can say the word of God, but I don't see them getting, you know, those blessings. We have to believe in our heart with no doubt. We have to be fully persuaded. We have to know that we know that we know that we know that we know that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That word imputed also means credited. Credit. It was credited to him as righteousness. You cannot be credited something without a reckoning. Reckoning is an inspection. It's an investigation. It is a summary. It is a calculation. And it is a judgment of right or wrong, or pass or fail. So it's also a counting term, that credit or debit. Okay? So do you want to be in the black or in the red? In the green. I like that one. I like that answer. I'd rather be in the green, in the money zone. Okay? That's good. But see, God has reckoned us, and he has looked in our hearts, and he has seen how much you love him. He has seen how much that you are diligently seeking him. And he's crediting it to you as righteousness to you today. He's reckoning us and putting into alignment and order so that we are completely aligned with him. You know, if somebody's short just a little bit at the cash register and they got a little change jar, they'll say, oh, just take out the 72 cents you're missing. Is it that ever happened to some people, or you're seeing it happen to some people? Okay. So they reckoned that they didn't have enough money to pay the bill. God's grace. He has already provided for you what you didn't have for yourself. God's grace has reckoned you in alignment with his word when you speak it forth. Because you've called those things that are not as though they were. Let's go to James 2:23. James 2:23 says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was called the friend of God." He believed God. That was his righteousness. We just need to believe the word of God. So no matter what the devil has put in your mind, no matter what he has tried to do to discourage you, no matter what the devil has stolen or taken away from you, God says that the devil has to repay sevenfold, and it is not a lie. And we're going to see that happen to us, those of us that believe it and call those things that are not as though they were. And you're going to have an abundant harvest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. And we're going to go to Romans 8:23. So we're still in the book of Romans. Just go to 8. Verse 23. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience," with what? Patience. "Patience, wait for it." Hallelujah. Patience. So see, with patience, we possess our soul. So once you've planted your seed and you're watering, you must be patient to reap that harvest. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when we give our first fruits as Christians, we know that God loves a cheerful giver. Christians are expected to give of our substance to support the work of the church. And we need to give. And James 1:18 says, "Of his own will, he brought us out forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." You are a first fruit of God's born again creatures. Hallelujah. Do you know what the rights of the firstborn are? Everything. You get everything. You're the heir to everything. And everything means every what? Thing. So how come you don't have those things that you've been desiring if you're supposed to be getting everything? Right? Because you haven't seen it as yours. You haven't claimed it. You haven't called it. You haven't spoken to that seed. You haven't watered it. So the harvest is waiting for you to speak that into being. Hallelujah. When we need more money, you don't give a seed of prayer. When we need provision, we don't just do kindness to somebody. If you want money, you have to plant money. If you want more money, you got to plant more money. It's God's law, not my law. But I'll tell you, there are benefits to being a tither. And we all know it, right? So let's go back. And for those that might be tuning in on the internet and let's go to Malachi. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You know, everybody knows the Word of God, and everybody expects that the Word of God is going to work for them. But when it says that you are to bring the tithes into the storehouse, that means a full 10%. Not after Uncle Sam has already taken his percentage. If you are contracted to work a certain amount, then the gross is what you should be given, 10% to God. Even though the government's trying to be like God and take its first. You see, it's imitating. So it tricks you that you only have X amount of money in take-home pay, and then people tithe off of that because that's what they saw. But that's not what should be rightfully given. And you should be planting in good soil, not contaminated soil. When you have contaminated soil, that seed cannot germinate, and it will not be able to grow like it should. Maybe a little harvest might come from it, but not the fullest of the abundance. And so when you plant in soil that is not tainted by the government, you get a full harvest. This ministry is not a 501c3. So when you plant your seed here, you will get your full harvest of the tithe. Because we are commanded to give the tithe. It's not an option. If you are a born again Christian and you want to have the devourer rebuked in your life, then you have to see that you give that full tithe. When people say to me, you know, I've been having financial challenges, the first thing that we look at is we say, have you been tithing faithfully? Is there any one time that you decided not to pay because of fear, that you didn't pay God first because of fear, you didn't have enough to pay a bill? Was it, you know, it wasn't intentional in your heart to rob God, but in your mind you were scared and you didn't know that you just had to, you know, grow in your faith to give the whole 10% to God. And then when you did that, because living with, you know, knowing that God has given us 100% and he's allowing us to be able to be blessed with 90%, we'll then be able to take care of more than 100% without God. But see, that's a growing thing. That's something we had to learn, right? I mean, we read it, but it didn't like kind of get down in our heart. And sometimes people were like, oh man, I don't want the creditors knocking at my door. I don't want to be evicted. I don't want to lose my car. I don't want to lose my house, right? Has there ever been a time that you did not give a tithe? Just skipped. Now, some people skipped and they said, Lord, I repent. Help me to make up for that skip. You know, so I'm going to give you 60 days of tithe instead of 30 days. But what if somebody skipped for 40 years? That'd be kind of hard to get back, you know. You know what I mean? I mean, God could do it. You know, I'm not saying he couldn't do it. But that's where grace, you just say, you know, I repent. And when you repent of that sin, it's as if you never did it. It's like, you know, you have the whiteboard with all these writings on it, and it take the eraser and it's erased away, clean again, right? Now, since I've been a Christian, I learned the Word of God. I've never failed to tithe. I don't care if I didn't have any more money in my account. I gave God first. My husband and I do that. And we have never failed to see God come through for us. Never. But there may be some people who you somehow skipped, whatever it was. But maybe you didn't repent of it because you didn't realize you had to repent of it. So I'm going to lead people in a prayer. And even if you have repented, let's pray together. I'm going to put it in a way where it's like, thank God I have repented. So you're not repenting for sin, you're already repented. In case someone hadn't, because we want you to receive a bigger harvest. And today God's going to give you an opportunity to give a bigger first fruit for a bumper crop, not what you got last year. What you want is you have to give that kind of a seed. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit what kind of seed to give above and beyond so that you won't eat that seed. So that seed is planted. You'll water it with thanksgiving and affirmations, and you'll see the bumper crop this year, regardless if the world is losing money. You won't. Now, I'm telling you what the word of God is because God sees you as prosperous. I'm telling you that you can have what you say you have if it's in accordance with the word of God. I'm reminding of who you are in Christ Jesus because you are a co-heir and God wants to bring into your hands this year the abundance of wealth to have power on this earth against the enemy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so we're going to repent, or we're going to remind God that we had repented so that the slate is clean and we start fresh and new. Amen?
Amen.
So let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. I thank you and I glorify you, Lord, for this day that you have made. So say with me, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I thank you that your word is true.
Thank you that your word is true.
And I don't want to disobey your word.
And I don't want to disobey your word.
And Lord God, if I have ever, skipped a tithe, then those that have never done it say, I repent of, and those that have say, I remind you that I've repented. I remind you that I've repented in the name of Jesus. According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
And it's as if I never sinned.
And it's as if I never sinned.
And the slate has been cleaned.
And the slate has been cleaned.
And I thank you, Lord God.
And I thank you, Lord God.
That it has been credited unto me.
And it has been credited unto me.
According to Romans 4:22.
According to Romans 4:22.
That I am a righteous, believer of God.
Believer of God.
And you reckoned unto me.
And you reckoned unto me.
Like Abraham.
Like Abraham.
Because I believe you.
Because I believe.
I believe your word.
I believe your word.
And you call me friend.
And you call me friend.
So I thank you, Lord.
So I thank you, Lord.
That you have provided for all my needs.
That you have provided all my needs.
According to your riches and glory.
According to your riches and glory.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
And I remind you.
And I remind you.
That when I give my tithes and first fruits today.
When I give my tithes and first fruits today.
That you have promised to give me.
That you have promised to give me.
The full inheritance.
The full inheritance.
Of Christ Jesus.
Of Christ Jesus.
To possess it.
To
dwell in it.
To dwell in it.
I give you my first fruits today, Lord.
I give you my first fruits.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
That as I give it to you.
That as I give it to you.
As worship.
As worship.
And I remind you.
And I remind
you. To bless me.
To bless me.
Like in the land of milk and honey.
Like in the land of milk and honey.
And so I set it before you today, Lord.
And so I set it before you today, Lord.
And I thank you for the increase.
And I thank you for the increase.
I thank you that the latter rains.
I thank you that the latter rains.
Are pouring upon my seed.
Are pouring upon my seed.
And I thank you in advance.
And I thank you in advance.
For a bumper crop. So I could use it for your kingdom.
So I can use it for your kingdom.
And your glory.
And your glory.
I give a bigger first fruits.
I give a bigger first fruits.
Today.
Today.
To get a bigger harvest.
To get a bigger harvest.
So that I can.
So that I can.
Be a supplier.
Be a supplier.
Of the gospel.
Of the gospel.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
And bless ABC Church.
And bless ABC Church.
And have the wealth.
And power,
to praise my God, and carry out His will, on this earth,
in
the name of Jesus.
I do not
stomp on my seed anymore, and I will continue to water it,
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
For I'm a cheerful giver.
For I am a cheerful giver.
And I have glad expectation.
And I have glad expectation.
That you have given to me.
That you have given to me.
Everything.
Everything.
That I need.
That I need.
That I have no lack.
That I have no lack.
I have no want.
I have
of
no
any
want.
Good thing.
Of any good thing.
I have abundance.
I have abundance.
Overflow.
Overflow.
And I can bless others.
And I can bless others.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
Whatever I put my hands to,
prospers.
I thank you, Lord,
that
you teach me to profit.
That you teach me to profit.
And you have given me power.
And you have given me power
to get wealth.
To get wealth.
And you've given me wealth.
And you've given me wealth
to get power.
To get power.
And Jesus Christ,
and Jesus Christ
became poor. That I have been made rich.
And I have been made rich.
And I praise you, Lord.
And I praise
and
you,
I
Lord.
Thank you.
And I thank
that the
you,
windows of heaven,
that the windows of heaven
have been opened up unto me.
Opened up unto
that
me.
You have rebuked the devourer,
that you have rebuked the devourer
on my behalf.
On my behalf.
And blessings are being poured out upon me.
Are being poured out upon
that I do not have room to contain
room.
Or hold.
Container.
Blessings are running
to overtake me.
For the reaper
is overtaking
the sower in my life. And you've already provided
and
answered
me
before I have asked.
And Lord God,
I give you
offerings
on top of my tithes because that's where I can get a hundredfold
return.
The best investment
is God's kingdom.
I invest into your kingdom.
And
I ask you to keep prospering me
so
I can keep investing into your kingdom
and
doing your work on earth
and
preparing the way
for
the second coming
of Jesus Christ.
I thank you.
I
believe it.
I've
received it.
And
I glorify you
in
Jesus' name. And I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. All right. Well, you could have a seat. And we are going to take a first fruits offering and spend a couple of minutes asking the Holy Spirit how much increase of your first fruits that you should give for your bumper crop, and if you should give offerings in addition to that. Now, the offerings don't have to be all at once, but you could do an IOU, or if God says, I want you from now on to give X amount of money per month starting this month, or I want you to give a one-time gift today, and then from now on, increase your monthly to this or that. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, but he's going to increase you when you increase. If you have the faith to believe it. Because I had seen in a school of dominion that God wanted to make people wealthy. I mean, exponentially wealthy. I mean, multimillionaire wealthy. In ABC. And if you see yourself as how God sees you, you'll become it. If you believe the word, because you already are it in his eyes. So let's take a couple minutes so you could pray and seek God. And hallelujah. Those on the internet, just pray and ask God how much you're supposed to increase your seed to ABC. Because when you go to a restaurant, you don't walk out and not pay for the food you've received. You don't go to Wendy's and go next door to McDonald's and pay them after you ate at Wendy's. So you've received a lot of strong meat here. I mean, when you go to Lowry's or Ruth Chris, you're not going to be paying an $8 steak. But you know that it's worth it, so you pay for what you get. This is
the best steak of all steaks at ABC. God has ministered to you. It has been life-changing. Honor God with your first fruits today. In kind of what you have received. Make sense? I'm not going to give for an $8 steak. If I want a $50 steak, I'm going to buy a $50 steak. So I'm going to thank God for what I've received today from ABC with my first fruits. And I expect to receive much more. So I'm going to increase that seed. And the Lord is speaking to a lot of you now what seed to plant. So let's just have a couple of minutes of quietness. Amen.